So I wanted to start by revisiting last week just one item that, Josh, I had told you about already, and that was the Shiboleh Aleket that was confusing. It was, in last week's sheet, it was the third source. We were talking about what happens when you have a Baal Kriya and you have an Oleh. And one view was that the relationship between the Oleh and the person doing the laning is that it's a shomea ka'ona function, where the person getting the aliyah hears the laning that's done, and that counts for him. That was one way to look at it. But we said that Shiboleh Aleket understood it as shlichus, that the way it works is that he is actually his shaliach, the oleh is making the Baal Kriya his shaliach. And the problem that we had in reading the Shiboleh Aleket last week traces back to a typo. There's an aleph that ought to be a hey, it appears. It's not the Bar Ilan's fault. When you look back at manuscripts of the Shiboleh Aleket that are on Hebrew books, you see that, in fact, that's the way it's written there, but it's not supposed to be. In the Gaonim he's quoting, when you look in their Sfarim, it said, we'll read it. If you take a look at Source Gimel on last week's sheet, Matzasi b'divrei Gaonim Zal, Mashakore hachazen v'shosei ka'ola likros. Okay, that which the chazen reads, chazen meaning Baal Kriya, and the ola reads quietly, and I added in brackets, I think, kori b'sheket, shosei likros means he's reading quietly, inami kori b'hedya. Or alternatively, the way that it's written in the Shiboleh Aleket, he reads b'hedya, which meant clearly, and we didn't understand what that meant. But if you look at the Gaonim he's quoting, it actually says Bahadei. Behedya means clearly. Bahadei means with him. So in other words, it should be a hey at the end. No aleph. Beis hey dalet yud hey is the way it should read. It's Gimel from last week. I should have probably reproduced it on this week's sheet. But the idea is that the Oleh is reading along with the Baal Kriya, either quietly or explicitly. And you can see why reading Behedya also works. You have to know what he's doing. Behadeh is a clearer read. So he says, Lo shapirhu, v'lo nafik yidei chovsei, oso hamavare halator b'kriyas achazen. The Shiboleh Aleket says, I don't know what you're doing when you do it that way. You who made the bracha don't fulfill anything with the laning of the Baal Kriya. So lo ashkechon, we're just going over the Shiboleh Aleket from last week. Because there's no such thing as making a shaliach that way. Meaning, he understands the relationship between the Oleh and the Baal Kriya to be that the Baal Kriya is the shaliach of the Oleh. You don't make someone your shaliach to do a job and then do it yourself. Essentially, he's against having the Oleh lane along with the Baal Kriya. That's really the upshot of the Shiboleh Aleket. He says, what are you doing? Why are you reading along with him? He's your shaliach. What are you accomplishing by laning? If anything, now you're not listening to the Baal Kriya. It's a very interesting take.
Is it the same way we used the source last week, or using the source differently?
Yeah, well, the point of using the source isn't to protest the laning. That's just an interesting quirk. The point of using the source is to show that the relationship, according to him, the relationship between Oleh and Baal Kriya is that of shaliach v'shaleach, or mashaleach shaliach. Proper order. That was the point. As opposed to the view that it's shomea ka'one, that he's not your shaliach, but rather he is the one who is performing the mitzvah, and you are listening to him do it and counting it for yourself.
Since you're shaliach, you shouldn't read, because then you're both doing it.
Yeah. Frankly, even with shomea ka'one, I could see that protest being a reasonable protest. You know? The protest would make sense in Shomei Ka'on. Also, you're not listening to him. You're doing your own thing. But it's stronger, I think, with the shlichus, because it's a very odd thing to do when you appoint someone as a shaliach and then you go do the job. Okay.
Why are you necessarily pointing for a shaliach? Could it be that it's almost working for different? For himself, he'll read along, but for everyone else, it's a shaliach.
So he's their shaliach.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea.
Does he have to be... Maybe because he can be with him and he can read along, then he doesn't need to be a shaliach.
Right. And clearly, that's not the way the Shibboleth Halakha conceives of this relationship. But whether it is, you know, whether it's a possibility is an interesting thought. Okay. We were up to, we had already started on the discussion of, based on our understanding of this communal slash individual slash hybrid mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, right? Either that the community is, either take that it's for, that there should be a Kriyas HaTorah, even if I don't have to hear it, or that it's my obligation to lay in two, but it's Shomea Kaona, or that it's an obligation for me to listen to hear Kriyas HaTorah, but not to actually do the reading, whichever way you take this, can women count towards the seven Olim, or then Olot? So, the general trend, we said last week, is to assume that women are exempt from Kriyas HaTorah. The most basic argument being that women are not obligated in Talmud Torah, and that Kriyas HaTorah is somehow a function of Talmud Torah. And that's the simplest take. Then we noted Maseches Sofrim, which really seems to be speaking about the Tisha B'Av, right? So regarding Tisha B'Av, right, the Magen Avraham says that even though women are potter from Kriyas HaTorah, they have no obligation, from Talmud Torah, they're exempt from learning Torah, nonetheless, they are obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, because it said there, they're obligated in Kriyas Sefer, which, in context, clearly seems to mean Echa. And therefore everybody objects to this position of the Magen Avraham, and that's what we were learning last time, were these objections to this position. First of all, we saw Tosfos, as well as the Ran, who said that women are exempt from Kriyas HaTorah. If you're looking at your sheet now, the sheet from this week, you're looking at Source Vav and Source Zion, or Tosfos and the Ran, who said that women are Lav B'nei Chayuva, they're not obligated in the mitzvah. And then the last piece was the argument that we saw last time from Rav Shvadran in the Das Torah, in Source Ches, in which he makes the argument that an Eved is exempt from Kriyas HaTorah. I know that an Eved is exempt from Kriyas HaTorah because if a master sees the Eved get up and be Ola La Torah and to read Psukim, and he doesn't protest, we take that as a sign that the Eved is actually free. So that shows that an Eved is Potter. Yeah.
You like the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham he starts off saying that they're Chaya, and then he says, it may not be Chaya, but they still have to hear, and then he concludes that they're still Chaya.
So, well, go back, it's Source Gimel, right?
Yeah, right, that's what I read.
So
right.
He says, Masha Mikan, meaning from the language of the Shulchan Aruch, yeah, which was in Source Beis, where he said, Hakol Olin, right? So he says, it sounds like, the Isha Chayev is the Shema Kriyas HaTorah. V'afal b'shinit k'na b'shum Talmud Torah, granted that, it's a Talmud Torah thing, and therefore women should be exempt. It's still, exactly, it's still like Hakel, and they are Chayev in it. That's correct.
Then what's the Mi? The Mi is somewhere that will be Shina Chayev and Olof Dominion. Because maybe you'll say that they're not Chayev.
But they're not Chayev. This is a second approach.
But they're still Olof Dominion.
Correct.
And then you bring the sentence over to go back to approach number one.
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly right. He says, you might want to say this way, but the truth is that Sofrim indicates the other way. And then he goes back with, by the way, the women walk out.
And then, right, and then back.
Correct. It is kind of a very back-and-forth Magen Avraham. He's not really oscillating. In other words, I think his personal belief is that women are Chayav.
Right. The question is, are they Chayav?
Like Hakel.
Well, no, he's not. Well, certainly. I mean, he says, certainly they're Olo, but I think that's what they
because the Shulchan Aruch said it, because the Gemara said it. Correct. You can't get around the fact that women were getting the Aliyos. I mean, they were. That's fact. So then the question is only, so what's the justification, and what, when, and how will that fit into our general understanding of the way Kriyas HaTorah works? But that's fact on the ground.
When did that change?
Sorry?
When did that change?
Already in the time of the Mishnah. The
So the Rav Shvadron is just saying that, just learning out from
right. So Rav Shvadron's point is, he says an Eved is potter from Kriyas HaTorah, and women have the same obligations as Avadim do. Therefore, women are potter from Kriyas HaTorah.
For the mitzvah such as my grandma.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't necessarily say it's men's grammar, or just saying generally women...
He doesn't say why it's so. He simply says it's so. I don't think it would be Mitzvah Shabbat Grama. I think the argument would be it's Talmud Torah, which has a separate rationale.
The halachic statement, he said? Or is he like, yeah, the halachic sefer?
Oh, yeah. No, Das Torah is halacha, yeah. That's a second piece. The third tack that they take in responding to the Magen Avraham is to pick apart his use of this piece in Mesachas Sofrim. The tour in Or Chaim Tav Kuf Nun Tes notes that Sofrim is talking about Eicha. It's not talking about Kriyas Atzeret. Tav Kuf Nun Tes being Hechos Tisha B'Av. That's number one. Number two, you go back and look at the text there in Sofrim, it isn't actually stating a halachic obligation. And here I brought you an extended piece from Rav Ovadia and Yechav Adas in source Tess on the sheets.
What is the Torah's point again? The Torah says that it's not about
He explains Sofrim to be talking about Tisha B'Av. Go back to the Sofrim itself in source Aleph, right? The reason people use this, as the Magen Avraham does, is because he has the line in his second paragraph, "Shanashim chayavos lishmoa kriya sefer ka'anashim."
This is sefer is Megillas.
So in context, it has to be Eicha, because the whole point is that we're reading Kinos and the Targum Ohetaves that everybody will understand.
So no one's really chayav. So women are chayav, aren't chayav just like men.
Women are just as not chayav as men are.
The weird statement.
Well, no, because he's not. We're being sarcastic. He's saying women are as chayav as men are. In other words, the minhag of reading Eicha applies to men and women alike. That's all that he's really saying. So Rav Ovadia in Tess says the following: Amna b'mesecha sofrim isa shetzarach latargim kriya sefer Torah b'shvil amayaretz v'hanashim. He has it as sefer Torah, right? Shanashim chayavos lishmoa kriya satorah ka'anashim. Giving you the Aruch HaShulchan reference in parentheses. Baram, but he says, he says, that can't be what Sofrim means. Right? We saw the Tosas in Rosh Hashanah who said women are pater. They are pater from both reading and listening to Kriyas HaTorah. V'chein kasav ritzgeyus, hevi arav rabbi David Amudron, v'sifro, v'chein kasav v'hedya me'iri, shanashim peturas mishmiya sefer Torah. Every Rishon in this conversation is saying women are potter. V'reisi b'maase rokeach, shamad gamkin v'kushya heyach hanashim olos l'minyan shiva, right? Peturas hemi talmud Torah. The maase rokeach, he said, asks the question of how they're getting an aliyah if they're potter. Working with the assumption that they are potter. The Meisa Rokeach solution is, yeah, but they have a chiyuv to hear Kriyas HaTorah, even though they have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, because they're reading, listening distinction. He did not mention any of the poskim that we just mentioned. Yeah.
That would also be like Hakkah.
Yes, it sounds like it would be like Hakkah.
And
correct. It sounds like the Hakkah argument. And the truth is, looking back at the Magen Avraham, he says also Lishmoa, Kimo Mitzvah Zakyo. So he's making the same distinction. V'ra'isi l'maran ha'chidah zatzal, b'kisei rachmem ha'masech ha'sofrim sham, shakasav, shemilas chayavos lav davna. This was what I really wanted to see. All the other parts are just interesting because he's adding sources for knowledge. But he says the word chayavos doesn't really mean chayavos. Sharei nashim p'turas l'gami mitam ha'torah. Ela minhag to be'almo. Chayavos really means it's a good minhag. Now, that's not the way we normally take the word chayavos. You can't do that. It would make for very interesting explanations on other lines. Right? Like chayav inishlevasume bepuria. So we have this whole fight about whether you have to get intoxicated and how intoxicated. No, chayavos means minhag to be'almo. It'll be a very interesting reread. Yeah. V'lachein pashta ha'hara v'chol galilo zenu she'en ha'nashim holchos lishma kriya sefer Torah be'ezras nashim ala ezer zekenos. He says only a few old women go to hear kriya sefer Torah, and none of the other women go, he says. V'gam hein eino b'derach kevad, even the older women, they don't show up regularly either, says Rav Ovadia. And he gives you in parentheses the Birka Yosef, what he has to say about the Magen Avraham. And then after the parentheses, he says, V'hagon Rabbi Yehuda Ayash, Mata Yehuda Kasav, Gamkin, Shebevadei Ein Chiyuv Menadin, Alanashim Lishmoa Kriya Sefer Torah. Shepturas Hein Mitalmud Torah, like everybody else has been saying. V'lashon Chayavos, Shemesecha Sofrim, Lav Davkahu, does the same take on the word Chayavos. Ela Zihiros Be'almo. Zihiros Be'almo, perhaps. And he says, I'll prove it to you. He adds a key point. Heda, you know this. Shemisayim Sham, he concludes there in Mesachah Sofrim, V'chein Chayavos B'kriya Shema Utfila. Right? That was the rest of the line in Sofrim that they're obligated in Shema Shmona Esrei. V'ri Shanino Shanashim Peturos M'kriya Shema. Right? The Gemara says they're exempt from Shema. Elavane Shederos Nehirus V'alma Sheyielen Sachar Tov V'kim Shmi Eskriya Sefer Torah V'kabalas Amalcha Shemaim Ad Kan Tochen Devarav. That's his conclusion. So he says, Chayavos doesn't really mean Chayavos, and that's the way to understand what's going on in Sofrim, as opposed to giving the Torah's approach to reading Sofrim, which I thought was a simple read of Masechta Sofrim, which is it's not talking about Sefer Torah. It's talking about Eicha. I mean, if you want to read it their way, the way to read the line back in Sofrim is to say, you should translate Eicha because they are as obligated in Eicha as they are in Kriya Sefer in general. So therefore translate it so that they'll understand. That would be the way to read Sofrim if you want to make it refer to that. I also brought you the Aruch HaShulchan on this, even though I feel like I'm beating a dead horse to a certain extent, but he says something else along the way that's important to know. He says, V'emes, it's true, Shekeinu b'Masechta Sofrim, v'zeh Lashono. He's dealing with a separate issue entirely. This isn't about our discussion. He's dealing with the laws of Hanukkah and when you say Haneros Halalim. Remember that when do you say Haneros Halalim when you're lighting the menorah?
After the first one.
Ooh.
First one.
After what?
After you light the candle.
So Adam would get the Aruch HaShulchan very angry. Because that's exactly the discussion here.
Nice.
I grew up saying that you say your brachos, you light your first candle, and once you have lit your first candle, then you say Haneros Halalim. So take a look at what the Aruch HaShulchan has. The Aruch HaShulchan is commenting on a view that says you make the bracha of lahadlik, and then you start, and then you say Haneros Halal.
Before lighting anything?
Before even saying the rest of the brachas. Then he says, Ve'emes, in source Yud, Shekein hu b'mesecha sofrim, v'zeh lashonam, ha'madlik mevarech lahadlik ner, ואומר, הנרו סאילו אנו מדליקים, etc. ועל ישוע שכה, ברוך אתה השם, שחיינו, ואומר שעשה ניסים. He's also got his brachas out of order. ונראה לי ברור, so he goes to town on this, but in quote, the entire discussion, you can, I am shum. But he says, ונראה לי ברור, דגם במסכת סופרים, אין הכוונה שיאמר השתי brachas אחר הנרו סהלל. That's not what they meant. וראיה, שראי התור כסב לעשות הגימול ברכות ביחד. ויחר גא כסב בשם מסך הסופרים לומר הנרס הללו. Right? The tour said, you say all your brachos, and then he quotes you this sofrim thing about saying הנרס הללו. ושכן היה נוהג מהרם והרש זה עלי ינשום. הרי להדיה, שכן פירשו הכוונה, they clearly understood that was what that meant. Oh, alternatively, שתאוס הוא במסך הסופרים וצרח לומר שתי ברכות מקודם, I'm sorry, שתאוס הוא במסך הסופרים, that's the other option. That's what I wanted you to see. He says, there are many mistakes in Masechta Sofrim. If I have a case in which Masechta Sofrim says X, but traditional sources say Y, then I'm going to assume that there's a mistake in Masechta Sofrim, that Masechta Sofrim is not halacha. V'chein ikar ledina v'gam ma'aramos ha'kein v'chein u'tshubas ma'aril v'chein anu know again in terms of the brachos for Ner Chanukah.
Not
that, I'm sorry. Weren't you saying Sayin Eres Halal after the first bracha?
No, after you light the candle. After
you
light
the candle. The first candle.
Oh, okay, yeah, now then we're all on the same page. Okay. And then I brought you in Yud Aleph.
So you're just saying, you're just using this as a source, and then since our whole conversation started from Masechta Sofrim, just.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, rap, why are you wasting time on this? Yes.
But is it Masechta Sofrim against the world, or is Masechta Sofrim against the vacuum?
Well, it's against the world, because Tosfos told me that women are pater from Talmud Torah, and that this is a function of Talmud Torah. Unless you're going to rewrite things to say that there's a difference between Kriya and Shmia, and that men have an obligation of Kriya, and women have an obligation of Shmia, which exists in other areas of Halakha, but it's hard. And you have to reread all your sources, and Tosfos clearly didn't think so. So that's why.
Is this like the other people?
But this all assumes that Sofrim even means this, and doesn't just mean that women are supposed to hear Eicha.
Do the other people write Masechta Sofrim in other places?
So it's funny. I'm going to get to that in 1 second. I just wanted to note Yud Aleph. That's the Mishnah in Brachos, which says explicitly that women are indeed pater from Shema. Okay. So worth noting, in the Frimmers, in their article in footnote 83, note that Rabbi Sperber wrote an article years back on what he called three remarkable customs. And in this, he makes great reliance on Maseches Sofrim to support the idea that women have the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. That apparently Sperber spends a lot. I didn't read his original piece. But his story goes on, and that's basically his anchor. And there are so many reasons to reject Sofrim. Yeah. So, having said that women are pater from Kriyas HaTorah, according to views in general, other than this Magen Avraham from Sofrim possibility, how did they count as being part of the Sheva Olim? How did you have women get Aliyos? You look at source Yud Beis, where I brought it for you, because we should read this source at some point. Tana Rabbanan Hakol Olam Minyan Sheva Vafilu Katan Vafilu Isha. Abol Amru Chachamim Isha Lotek Betar Bnei Kvadat Zibur, which we don't know. We don't know yet what Kvadat Zibur is, but it's fairly explicit that women were indeed getting Aliyot. Interesting. Also, take a look at the Tosafta version of it in source Yud Gimel. B'yom Tov, Chamisha, on Yom Tov you have five Aliyos, B'yom HaKippurim you have Shisha, B'Shabbos you have Shiva. For Imratzu L'Hosif, Al Yosifu, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, don't add. Beyond that, you don't want to throw off your number of Aliyos. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, B'yom Tov, Chamisha, B'yom HaKippurim, Shiva, U'B'Shabbos, Shisha. Which is interesting, because they always point to that as a sign that Shabbos is greater Kedusha than Yom Kippur. He says, no, actually Shabbos is six Aliyos. Well, it makes sense, but I mean that every week he only has six Aliyos. Unless he davened like Abaye, in which case he had 12 Sabbaths.
Exactly. It makes sense that Yom Kippur should have more. Yom Kippur should have
In a Hanami. The Yomotzel Osef Mosifin, fine, Vahakol Olan Eminyan Shiva, Afilu Isha, Vafilu Katan. But then he says, Ein Mivinas Isha Likros Larabim. He doesn't say kavod. He just says you don't have women do the public Kriyas HaTorah.
To read it or to get the Aliyah?
Technically, he used the word likros, but keep in mind that in the days of the Tosefta, there's no distinction. Right? Tosefta is back in the day when there is no Bakriya.
I call only living in Shiva. Is there a discussion? Maybe we'll talk about it as well. Does that mean only Shabbat? Assuming Shabbat is only every day. Does that mean they can only go on that day? That means they can't get Aliyah on Monday, Thursday?
Right, so we actually do distinguish. We do distinguish. I didn't go into it here. But there are those who argue that, I think it's not just like a those, like I think it's a serious view, that even if you're going to say that Shabbos' Kriya is an obligation for everybody, that yeah, everyone has to hear it, everyone has to whatever, clear that Sheni v'Chamishi and Shabbos Mincha is just that there should be a Kriya, and not that I have a personal obligation at all. No one has a personal obligation.
So it's more,
well, when was that?
It's the opposite of what you're saying.
When we talk about the institution of Kriyas HaTorah, we often put Shabbos together Monday and Thursday.
Shabbos Mincha.
Not Shabbos. Shabbos Mincha was the leader. Wasn't that the leader?
No, we grouped together Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha.
Well, when we
talk about it was different because it was Yoshua Kronos.
No, when Moshe Rabbeinu talks about having Kriyas HaTorah three times a week, that wasn't the process is that Monday morning, Thursday morning, and Shabbos.
Right, but Ezra is the one who gives us Shabbos in the form that we have it with these number of Olim and so on.
And then that gave it an extra Hashivas once you gave it more Olim?
Well, possibly that's where it becomes a communal obligation. In other words, the way to look at it would be, originally, Kriyas HaTorah was just... The weakness in what I'm saying, I'm going to say it now, I was going to wait till after concluding this thought, but you have to explain the weakness. The weakness in this is that the reason for Monday, Thursday, Shabbos is so that everybody will learn Torah. So now if you're going to tell me that it's only a communal obligation that there should be a Kriyas HaTorah, but I don't have to hear it, you've now defeated the purpose. Right? Somebody's learning Torah, even if it's not personally me. So that's the weakness in making this statement. But the idea would be, in theory, that the original Takana, Monday, Thursday, including Shabbos, was there should be a Kriya, and then Ezra comes along and says, no, I want everybody to hear it Shabbos morning, and that becomes the one that everybody has to be participating in. That would be the argument.
It doesn't have to be such a weakness to say, when we talk about Kriyas HaTorah, there's really a Kriyas HaTorah every day. So when we talk about eating,
What is Kriya?
You're right.
Shema, Boker, and Erev.
Right.
No, but nevertheless, so we're instituting only Monday, Thursday meeting. It's not crazy to believe that as long as it's Hebrew or Torah, that you know that's the point of it. I don't know if that has to happen.
Yeah, it's but it's odd.
But you know, someone else is in Kolo.
Yeah.
There is a Kolo.
We have a Sarah about Lenin, and then,
someone there hearing Torah. But I think Josh was trying to say almost like women could get on Shabbos, but not the rest of the week, and you're saying the opposite.
I'm saying the opposite. Right. Correct. It's easier to argue that the women can get the rest of the week than it is on Shabbos.
Why is that bad that be? Because
maybe the rest of the week.
Because maybe the rest of the week. It's just that there should be a Kriyas HaTorah. It's a communal thing. Yes, that's a theoretical possibility. I saw sources on it. I didn't bring them in this. So the question is, how does this work? So the way the Frimmers frame this in their article, none of the models that we have suggested regarding Kriyas HaTorah, the communal mitzvah, that there should be a Kriyas HaTorah, or the mitzvah for everybody to listen to Kriyas HaTorah, or the hybrid, that there are certain aliyahs that require that everybody read it, but it's Shomea Ka'ona for those. None of those models would lead us to accept having someone who is Pater do Kriyas HaTorah. The only way it would work would be if I took the hybrid view and said the core Aliyos, whether that's one or three, has to be by someone who's Chayav, and then anybody else can get one of the other ones. So then what's going on?
Why not the communal idea that there has to be one, but I don't have to hear it?
Because the argument in response, and this goes back, I guess, to our Monday Thursday question also, the argument in response would be, but someone who's chayav, someone who, in other words, if women are pater, and the whole mitzvah is communal, then women are pater from the communal. Someone who is chayav to create a communal Kriyas HaTorah should be the one to get the aliyah.
Well, maybe there's no chayav, it's just like a thing. Meaning, I don't know what that means, but that no one actually has a chiyuv to be yoytze Kriyas HaTorah, but there needs to be one.
Yeah, but who has to do it?
Whoever's there.
What does that mean? You could have two turtles? I mean, like, someone has to...
You're saying that even though if I choose to not show up, I didn't do anything wrong, but where it's happening, it needs to be...
Yeah.
Must say, it's not so halachic. It's more just like, we know that there's a Torah reading happening in shul.
I mean, keep in mind, women are going to end up getting the aliyah. So the only question is, so how are we bridging this?
But I've been assuming the whole time, it's not like what you're saying, no, but I'm not saying I disagree. I'm assuming the whole time that as long as you say that it's just a communal mitzvah, not an individual chiyuv, then women can do whatever they want. There's no, we're not in the world of chiyuv. And now you're saying even if it's communal, we can still be in the world of chiyuv.
That's the firmer assumption. Frankly, they don't take the time that I noticed to spell that out in terms of how I lead to it, but there is a logic to it.
Is there no logic to the other way? Or do you think
there are other examples of that?
Other examples?
Communal.
I don't know if it's logic to the other way.
Is there an idea about communal mitzvah? I'm trying to think that.
That I have to make sure something is done in the community? Staka. I have to make sure the anim are taken care of. I might be a ma'aseh rather than an oseh if I don't have the means to support. But I have a chiyuv to make sure that the anim are going to be taken care of.
Yeah, but then, I mean, that view is on everybody.
Yeah.
That would be.
I mean, I don't know if you'll apply this to the cases where Beis Din is chayav at something. There are numerous cases where Beis Din has a mitzvah, and the community has to make sure there's a Beis Din. Maybe. That's not clear to me at all.
Yes.
What parameters are you using to define communal? Does that mean that somewhere in the GTA someone's doing a crazy poem?
That's a really good question.
If there is, then it would be that all other minyanim are just sort of like, they don't really need to exist.
Yeah.
So then, and those minyanim, then they would be in the one that's actually...
As long as we make sure there's a minyan of men somewhere. Yeah. So I have no idea how this works. I was wondering the same thing. I have no idea how this works. Maybe within your Tum Shabbos, you know? It's not at all clear. Not at all clear. And the Tum Shabbos suggestion I'm making is because they discuss that regarding Erev Tavshilin, where we say that a person can make an Erev Tavshilin, give it to somebody else on behalf of all of the people in the community, and they're now Yotze, they're Erev Tavshilin with him. And we say that only works up to Tum Shabbos, without explaining why Tum Shabbos should be your boundary at all. And the answer is that's how we define Tzibur. I mean, there's a discussion. Is it because you don't have in mind those who are beyond it? Is it because you actively don't want to have it for people? There are different explanations, but it's...
Time to make the Erev Tavshilin for everyone else?
No, because you have to be Mizakeh to somebody else. The Katanim don't have that ability, right?
But But even when we talk about communal mitzvah, do we ever say there is a chiyuv to make the minyan, to make the communal mitzvah, or when the minyan is together, then they have the chiyuv to do it? I mean, what would we take that approach?
We took the approach of make sure there is a. Not even.
So you had to make sure there is a minyan, as opposed to, if there's a minyan, then make sure to do it.
Yeah, correct. The first way. You have to make sure there will be a Kriyas HaTorah. That was my understanding.
Yeah, because I think it could, I mean, I have to go back to the sources to see, but maybe it's just when you're together, then you have the Theo, so then I think it would be obvious that that only, you know, every seaboard, every minyan, that gets together would be the seaboard.
Right, but I don't think that's the way. I don't think that's the way it works. So, the suggestion they make is based on a rivash. The rivash is actually dealing in context with ketanim and the acceptance of ketanim reading, because, you know, along the way we keep mentioning that ketanim can read too. So, where does this come from? So, if you take a look at source Yud Dalet, Mishnah says, "Katan kori batora umetargim." The katan can be the Baal Kriya, right? Kori Batorah, again, in the Mishnah, doesn't mean Baal Kriya. It means the katan is the Ola. He could also do the Tarjum. Aval eino pori sal shma, he cannot be the Chazan. Veino v'lefnei ateva, veino nosi es kapa, he doesn't duchen. Minors don't lead the davening. They can get an aliyah, but they can't lead the davening. And you dalit. You see that? So Rashi, on Katan Eino Pori Sal Shema, in source Tesvav, says, why is the Katan ineligible to be the Chazan? Lefishahu bala hutzi rabbi mide chovasan, because he is now trying to fulfill the obligation for everybody. V'kevan she'eino mechuyav v'davar, since he is not personally obligated, eino motzi acher mide chovasan, he's not able to do it on behalf of others. He's not chayav, therefore he's not eligible to do it on behalf of other people. He has no mitzvah of tefillah v'tzibur. Follow? So, therefore he can't do via shomeya ka'oneh, and he can't be motzi other people. Worth noting, if you take a look at source Tezayin, the position taken by the Ravid. The Ravid is quoted by the Rashba in Aleph Kuf Lamed Tes, and the Beis Yosef explains it, and that's, so I just used the Beis Yosef regarding what the mitzvah of the minor is. He says, "Midivrei Rabbeinu, v'divrei ha'mefarshim shekasavti, mashma behedya shekatan eino rashai leri lifnei ha'teva, afilu ba'koroi ba'alma." He says, a minor can never be the chazan, even on like a once and whatever. No, never. Minor doesn't get to do that. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. In the shuls that I've seen, they all have the miners get up Motzai Shabbos and they daven Mara for the Amud. I don't know what the attraction was, but they did it. He says, maybe it was just Shachris that they were up in arms about and said, the Katan can't do it, can't be the Chazan. Because in Shachris, you have these serious brachas, you have Kedusha in Shemona Esrei, you have Kedusha also in the bracha of Yotzer, right? You have Berachas Kriyashma. The Gam, Shetzara Shliach Tzibur, Lachzara Tfilo, Tzirab Yedei Chavasan, the Katan, the Lav Barach Yuvahu, Eino Motzi Am. Further, he says, the Chazan normally has to do chazaras hashatz and fulfill it for others, and the katan is not chayiv in it. Kiddus nan, kol she'enu mechuyiv v'davar, enu motzi es rabim yidei chobasan. So therefore, you put him up at Marav Motzai Shabbos, right? And that way, he doesn't have to worry about chazaras hashatz. Now, theoretically, it could be any Marav. Maybe it was dangerous for the katan to be around, but on Motzai Shabbos, they're around, they're ready from shul, you know, from Shabbos, I don't know. But he says that's the suggestion. The Shamati Sha'arav, Rabbi Yosef Abu Drum, Kara Tagar, Al Minog Zeshanagdu Akhtanim, later with Ne'atev Motzoy Shabbos. The Abu Drum was very upset regarding this practice of having the kids daven for the Yamad on Motzoy Shabbos. Viskimu Al Yado Arav Agadol, Reino Rav Yitzchak Dilion, Levat El Aminog. And then he gets to our point. Matasi La Harashva Shakasa Bechuva Beshem Haraifat, De Taima De Kata, Desnan, De Kata, Eno Paris Al Shema, Eno Overlif Ne'ateva, Dekaven de brachos and tefilos de rabbanan ninu, vekaten shegiel achinoch de rabbanan havi, the vekaten shegiel achinoch de rabbanan Right, Derabanan probably should be read. It should be Havi, not Havi. But Havi Amina, Asi Derabanan, Umapik Derabanan. He says, the reason why they thought that a kid could do this is because, I'm sorry, the reason why they said that a kid cannot do this, I should say, in the Mishnah and Megillah, is because brachos are fundamentally derabanan anyway, the format of the bracha that we do, the format of the tefillah that we do. There's a mitzvah of davening that may be a deoraisa, according to the Rambam. However, that's not the specific language of tefillah. That's to daven at some point. So I might have thought, a kid who has reached the age of chinuch has a mitzvah derabanan. The whole institution of davening as we know it is derabanan. So I would have thought a kid can do it. Kamash malan de mishum kvod atzibor lo avdinan. And so it's teaching me we don't do it because of kvod atzibor. Gimnayu letzibor shakatan motzian. It will be a disgrace for the minor to do it. And now we get to the point that he says, ulefi tam ze yesh makam lemina glomar shatzibor mochlim al kvodam. Remember those words. Because of this, there's room to say that if there's a community that wants to, they could be mochel on their kavod. They could forgive their kavod. And say, well, let the minor do it. Matzai Shabbos is minor night at shul. And they could daven marav. Va'afil, my depirish Rashi, the time of the masnisin, mishum, dechol she'enu mechuyu, bedavar enu motzi, rabbi, dechovas. And what about Rashi? Rashi didn't think the problem was kavod sibur in the first place. Rashi thought it's because you have to be a bar chiyuva. So, ika lememar, detfilas arvish sha'ani, the rishusi, maybe marav is different, because marav is rishus. Okay, so the Beis Yosef makes a point which clearly we're going to have to come back to regarding the ability of the tzibur to forgive kavanat tzibur. But that's something to keep in mind. We generally assume the minor may not serve as a chazan. I added also in Source Yedzayin that the minor also is not eligible to read Megillas Esther. Hakok Sheren Likus Megillah Chutz Mecher Shod VeKatan. Right, read the Mashal VeKatan, fine. And then we get to the point. If you're going to tell me that the kid can't lay in Megillas Esther, and the kid is not a bar chiyuva to be able to be a chazin either, how is it that we said that the kid can count as one of the seven for Aliyos?
This Rashi was a good point, no? What's wrong with it?
Sorry?
Why can't we be... Have we discounted this Rashba?
What Rashba? What are you talking about?
The chiyuv is only derabanan, they have a chiyuv derabanan. So.
Yeah, no, he's saying that the Mishnah is defeating that argument. In other words, the Mishnah came along to say this because you might have said it.
No, what's wrong with it?
Oh, nothing, but Kavod HaTzibur says don't do it.
But maybe we'll make on Kavod HaTzibur.
In a Hanani, but that's the Rashba. But I would still go back to Rashi, who says Kol Sheinu Mechuyav B'Davar. In other words, the mitzvah derabanan, because the mitzvah derabanan of a minor is the mitzvah chinuch. Remember the discussion about what the nature of the mitzvah chinuch is. Is the mitzvah chinuch an overarching mitzvah of train your children in whatever mitzvah is at hand? Or is it part of each mitzvah? He's taking the view that it's actually an overarching thing. And therefore, a kid who is chayav in chinuch, right? The kid who has to be... And the question is also, is it really the kid's mitzvah chinuch altogether? But let's pretend it is. Even if the kid has a derabanan, his derabanan is not a derabanan of kriyashma. It's not a derabanan of tefillah. It's a derabanan of chinuch.
I think what it's saying.
You follow?
Chinuch himself,
derabanan. No. Chinuch is a derabanan, but that's his mitzvah. The day when he davened Shmona Esrei as a katan, he's not fulfilling a mitzvah of davening Shmona Esrei. He's fulfilling a mitzvah of chinuch. You follow?
Sure,
so he has no relationship with this mitzvah of Shmona Esrei. They don't for any other mitzvah he performs.
The Kli B'Davar, I mean that same mitzvah, not on the same level.
Correct. The fact that he has the Rabbana that requires him to do this action doesn't mean he's fulfilling this mitzvah.
Were the case that there was the same little Kli for that mitzvah of B'Davar? If you were to say Rabbana and assume that the child is Rabbana, that you would be able to be...
Well, the argument in response is that these are different Rabbanans.
Right.
Yeah. It's a case of convergent evolution. Both of us have Rabbanans that are leading us to do the same thing, but for different reasons. Which is not really convergent evolution, but don't worry about it. Yes. So, if you're taking this view, why is it that they're able to count towards the Sheva to the Sheva Olin? How can they count as of being in the seven? So, the Frimer is like this Rivash, Yuches. He says, Eino mitztarev la'asara shetzarech l'kriyas hatorah. He says, this is a piece out of a tshuva. He says, the katan does not count towards the 10 that you need in the room, so that there will be a minyan. Elatzarach sheyehu bebeis hakneses asara kulam gedolim. You need 10 adults in the shul. Ella mipnei she'ena kol bekiyin bekriyas hatara lo itrichu hatzibur lahavi shiva gedolim hayodim likros batara. The problem is that not everybody knows how to lane. And remember that to get an aliyah, you have to lane it. So therefore, they said, we're going to require 10 men present in the room, but we won't require that all of your olim be adult males. Adults, as far as he's writing here. Ukshayskinu shiyu shiva karn batara. So when they made the takana, which takes me back to Ezra, when they made a takana of 7 olim, haisa takana shakatana yadea likros yalala minyan shiva. Ezra said, look, I'm dealing with an illiterate population. Right? These are people who don't even know Hebrew. I'm going to create Shona Esrei for them because they don't know how to daven. I'm going to be... he has a public, he has a Torah, and he has them separate from the Babylonian wives they married and so on. He says, I'm going to now tell them that every Shabbos they need to have 7 people get up and lane. They'll be done with Kriyas HaTorah the first week. They don't know how to do Kriyas HaTorah. So I'll allow the broadest group of people to get aliyos. You don't have to be an adult. You can have a katan do it too. Yes, he says, they won't find them eligible, able to read. And then he says, and for the same reason, they said women could get an aliyah also. If not for this kavarat zibur issue that comes along. So the way that the Rivash says it is that the Takana accepted a broad pool of readers, including those who are not chayav in the mitzvah. Just so that there would be a broader group of people who could lane. In sum, what we end up saying then, is women count towards the aliyos by special takana of the chachamim. However, we don't equate being counted towards the 7 with being obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. They're still going to be putter in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Follow? It's a remarkable about face. And now we have to address a couple of problems. Number one, which we will start on it anyway today, if they're not obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, how are they reciting Birchas HaTorah? It's all well and good for you to say to me, they made a takana, we'll accept those who are not chayav because otherwise we won't have olim. But they're making brachos. I don't know, but something. How are you? What's your justification in having them recite a bracha? That women generally will make a bracha on something that they're exempt from. Yes, I'm going to get to that. But that's one question. And the other question that we're going to have to get to is, how can she be in the Baal Kriya system, which we now have? How is she eligible to serve as a Baalat Kriya on behalf of a man who is obligated in the mitzvah? Yeah.
I was going to ask, which of the three...
So any of them could adopt this. Any of them would adopt this. Right. So they don't need this. Correct. The Ran and the proponents of the hybrid view don't need to go this route. They're fine even without this.
The Rebbe seem to imply that it doesn't matter for any of them.
Correct. Correct. The Rivash would say all 7. Well, not lane that 7. We have to get to lane. But at least get the aliyah for any of the 7.
Can we say the same thing, though?
Yes and no. If I'm going to take the formulation of laning, and I have an oleh who is really obligated to read, and he's using Shomea Ka'one, and that brachos really matter, and so on, then I can't have a non-bar chiyuva do the laning on his behalf. We are going to end up saying the other. But the question is, how do you get there? That's true for all of us. I mean, everything we've been doing ever since we finished what is the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah has been knowing the last page in the book. Because the last page in the book is, they got aliyos and they lane. Whether they got all 7 or not is subject to whether I adopt the hybrid view. But the only question really is, so what's the mechanism by which this operates? Which you need to know. It's not just an academic exercise. Because if you're really going to venture into rolling back Kavod HaTzibur, then you need to go back to the question of, well, then how did it work in a non-Kavod HaTzibur world? And are there any restrictions that emerge from that? So that's why this is going to matter.
The hybrid view says they can't get, they can do which alleles?
The hybrid view said either one or three alleles are obligatory.
Which ones? We don't know.
Right, so that wasn't clear. I didn't go into the whole discussion about which ones.
You didn't say that.
Yeah. And how many you need.
So the source, the Mishnah Megillah, the Kolkshah and the Kriyas Megillah, you're using that before the Rivash to say what? You see, the Ketanim can't be Megillah.
Then they can't even lay Megillah Esther for others.
Not Derabanan, so why?
Yeah. And it's a form of public Kriya. Yeah. Correct. I think it was in footnotes 114 to 117 that he discussed the question. He gave broad sources on whether it's the first or third or how many it would be.
Okay. So the two questions we have to answer now is how can she make brachos and the second
and how
question?
Can she link?
Because of the chiyuv question.
Presumably, yeah. So in terms of how they could recite Birchas HaTorah, yeah, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah mentioned women getting aliyahs, and they don't say there's any problem whatsoever. So one approach to give is that, remember that our source on this was Mishnah. In the time of the Mishnah, who's making brachos on their aliyahs? Number one and number seven. So the answer is they got the middle aliyahs. They didn't have to say a brach on their aliyah. Either if I take the view that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah and I am following the Rambam, who says you can't recite a bracha on a mitzvah unless you are obligated in it, right? So I will say that they were using the middle aliyos. Or, even if I'm Ashkenazi, if I say it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, and that the way the aliyah works for the community is Shomea Ka'ona, and they're not Chayav, so then I will say, okay, so they got a middle aliyah. Right, so either way, that will work. The other approach is no. They got any of the aliyos, and they could say the bracha. How? Three potential justifications. Number one is to say, yes, it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, even though it doesn't have the tzivanim. Right? You have to keep in your head our whole discussion that we had about what the brachos are on aliyos. It would be really good if we did this as a full day thing, so we didn't have to remember it like 3 weeks ago. But but another way is to say it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, even though it lacks Vitzivanu, we follow Tosfos and the Ashkenazi view that women are able to say such brachos, and it's not Shomea Ka'ona for the tzibur. That's one way you could say that they got any of the aliyos. A second approach is to say they're not Birchas HaMitzvah at all. They're Birchas HaShevach. And they can recite the brachos unless we say the view that I quoted earlier, that the right to improvise Birchas HaShevach is limited. That you can only say Birchas, remember we had the discussion about Shachianu and whether you could just say Shachianu anytime you feel happy. The Rosh Hashanah was very against improvising Shachianu, apparently, based on what we saw. But if I say that they are Birchas HaShevach, and maybe, I'm sorry, I don't want to say that, about improvising Birchas HaShevach, because Shachianu may be different. Shachianu really is about your simcha. But the point is that Birchas HaShevach maybe is what these brachos are, and therefore they could do it. And then a third way is to say that aliyos are a communal responsibility, but anybody can say the bracha, which we saw in the Rashba manuscript a couple of weeks ago. The idea that anybody can be the one to say the bracha, this goes back to the question of the nature of the communal responsibility a little bit, which is in that Rashba. Now that Rashba is new. That came out of a manuscript that wasn't around for centuries. But take a look at Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach's position in Source Yud Tes. He's talking about the case of an Israeli who is outside of Israel on Yom Tov Sheni. And he wants to daven with the minyan because he wants to answer whatever he's going to answer with them, and he's supposed to do that. That's actually a good thing for him to do. But then they call him up for an aliyah. And it's not his Kriyas HaTorah. He's not a Bar Chiyuva. So what does he do? So Shlomo Zalman says, Yud Tes, Ve'im karuhu la'alos. This is a quote of Shlomo Zalman. In other words, Halicha Shlomo records his views, but he didn't write it. Ve'im karuhu la'alos. If this Israeli was called up for an aliyah, in hu yom rishon l'chol ha'moed v'eretz Yisrael, yalav yivarech. So if it's chol ha'moed in Israel, meaning it's the second day of Yom Tov, right? The second day of Pesach, second day of Sukkot. So it's still Yechol HaMoed for him. So let him go make the bracha. Achtov shelo yal l'maftir, but he shouldn't get maftir because he has no haftarah. It's Chol HaMoed for him. But on other days, meaning if it's day 8, Yishtamet b'midas ha'efshar mila'alos. He should do everything he can to avoid going up for the aliyah. Afla achar shekaruhu. Even after they called him up, he should try to avoid having to go up. See if there's any way he can get out of there.
How about Chamishi?
Because on Chalamot we don't have five aliyahs?
Yeah.
He doesn't distinguish.
I know, at least it's Mafter. But why would Mafter be different than Chamishi?
Because it's fundamentally an aliyah. It's still fundamentally an aliyah. In other words, the aliyah is fundamentally the same. And who's to say that you are the extra one? Unless you're going to say it's because, well, the community already heard four, therefore their obligation is done.
Your obligation
is done because you heard four. He doesn't make the distinction. I hear the question. He doesn't say.
It doesn't matter. There's a different meaning as well. The second day of.
Because it's not.
And in the case of both
the second day.
Separate four readings.
Actually, the second day is Sukkot.
Pesach
is the same.
Sukkot
is the one that's going to be different because Sukkot, you don't have Shor Chesev in Israel on day two. You're just doing Bayom. Yeah. So apparently that doesn't bother them. As long as you're getting an aliyah. Which is strange, but yeah, apparently. But in his footnote there, I added there, Ha'arat Shulayim, Lamed, he writes, Merach b'ki agavna she'i efshar lo klal hishtamit, v'havale milsa deparhesia. In this particular case, where he can't get out of it, and it's public, meaning it's public, and therefore if he's going to say, well, I'm an Israeli and it's not Yom Tov for me, he's now making a public declaration of that, veering from what they're doing publicly. That's no good. So he says, Yacholalos ulevarech afilu v'yamim she'enami make kriya. So he can get up and make the bracha, even if it's not a day for kriya star for him. Why can he do this? He says the whole idea behind having these brachos is just for the sake of the community's honor. There's no bracha levatala involved. When he can do it for them, he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for the sake of the community. That's the idea that he suggests. To explain what we're saying here, I feel like we're going to come back to this in the beginning next time. But what he's suggesting is, like the view of the Rashba, it doesn't matter who gets the bracha. Kriyas HaTorah is a communal responsibility. The fact that we make brachos isn't fulfilling anything for anybody. They already fulfilled it by the fact that there is a Kriyas HaTorah. Why do I make brachos when I get up for an aliyah? It's a bracha in honor of the community. And anybody can say that bracha.
That's what I was saying, kind of.
No, because you were saying anybody can get the aliyah.
So, but this, he's not chayav in the aliyah either.
No, but he's saying he's not chayav in the aliyah.
I agree he's focusing on the bracha point.
Yeah.
It also applies to the aliyah, because he's not chayav in the aliyah either.
Right, no, that's true. But that's because, you're right, it does come back to what you're saying. And communal means anybody. You're right, it's interesting. Where do we get this idea regarding the brachos? So I brought you here the Prima Gadim and the Prisha. The Prima Gadim in Source Chaf says, Bracha Lasok B'Shachris Ole Lazeh. The bracha of making Lasok B'Divrei Torah that you make in the morning counts for Kriyas HaTorah. V'gam Kola Brachos. Af Agav Dahave Hefzeh Gadol Lo Chashav Hefzeh. Granted, there's a long time between you make Kriyas HaTorah in the morning and when you get called up to the Torah. That's not a Hefzeh. Right? That's the way it works. That's the way we look at the Berachas HaTorah. Why is it that I can make Berachas HaTorah in the morning and learn Torah at 5 in the afternoon? And it counts? And the answer is because the whole day I have a chiyuv of learning Torah. I just got involved in other things. But my Berachas HaTorah endured. That's a whole other issue. So he says, then why do we make Berachas on an aliyah all together? The Prima Gadim asks, that's all. It's out of kavod for the tzibur.
That necessarily means brachos hashavu?
Not necessarily. It's a separate institution. It's a formal ritual. I wouldn't call it brachos hamitzvah. It's not a brachos hamitzvah. It's for sure a brachos hamitzvah. It's a bracha that is a ritual unto itself. I don't know what to call it. It doesn't fit the normal paradigms.
Are there any other examples of the
I can't think of any. I cannot think of any. But these brahas are weird.
Because they are the only thing you say in the morning, it doesn't end.
Right. Gerza Tara in the first place is strange. And the Aliyah bracha is strange. What other formal ritual do we have where you have something that doesn't look like a mitzvah and you're making a bracha on it? And a redundant bracha at that. I can't think of any case.
Of a lighting kind of a candle.
But there they argue that it...
Wasn't that for people who didn't have a home or something?
No, it's not. It's Kisumenisa. Even if everybody there is going to light, you're going to go home and you're going to make a new bracha when you go home.
There's no aspect of it that's like Kiddush and Shul?
It's an interesting question of whether that we can look at that way.
There's no aspect of it that's similar to Kiddush and Shul for any days?
I don't believe so.
Only make Kiddush and Shul when everyone goes home. No one sleeps the bodies, etc.
Correct. And that's maybe that's actually probably a more analogous case. And there it's also, it's ritual. It's not...
That started if people did eat in the Shul. Yeah,
it's correct. But the fact that it's still done now...
It's a problem.
In a Hanami, it's a problem. It should be eliminated. But the fact that Shuls do it is, it's an odd minhagish thing. Yeah.
There's no chiyuv on anyone. Correct. What I was saying.
And they're part of the ceremony of Kriyas HaTorah, whatever that means. Actually, it doesn't sound like it. I mean, everybody will argue who said earlier that the brachas on Kriyas HaTorah are brachas on mitzvah. So all of them are arguing with this. So I suppose, yes, there are those who argue. Everyone who, when we had our discussion about how brachas on Aliyah work, and who said Shomea Ka'one, and all that, although they were really talking about the laning, not the brachas necessarily.
But if you claim it's a separate mitzvah, laning right. is not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's a mitzvah of laning, then right. it's its own brachas, it just happens to be the same words.
Right. I mean, Rashi earlier said this is a brachas HaShevach. Can you say this is sort of a brachas HaShevach? Maybe. I don't think, his language doesn't indicate that. He said Kavod HaTzibur. That's not Berchus HaShevach. The Ri was the one who said Berchus HaMitzvah. He for sure doesn't agree with this. This is essentially a third view. Yeah. And just one last source with it is the Prisha, who also called it Kavod. I'm not going to read it out loud, it's already 11:30. But the Prisha says it's Kavod. So just to sum up, either women only made brachos on the middle Aliyos, I'm sorry, not made brachas. We only got the middle of the Aliyos. Right. Or they made brachas on all Aliyos, but that doesn't mean they were obligated in the mitzvah. There are various ways to explain how they could set the bracha, ranging from it's brachas on mitzvah, but we are Ashkenazim, and therefore we're okay with women doing that, or saying that it's a brachas shevach, and you could take that on, or saying that it's this odd other thing. It's a bracha for Kavod HaTzibur, and the women were able to do that. Which raises other questions about Kavod HaTzibur that we don't understand Kavod HaTzibur yet. So we have to get to that. What I think I'm going to do for next week, I'm not going to have a chance to prepare a full shiur for Friday after Shavuos, but I think I will do the last bit of this, of how could a woman be Baalat Kriya? We'll do that as a mini shiur on Friday next week. It won't take us a full hour, I hope. And then the week after, we'll start the Kavod HaTzibur discussion that goes with this.
Was a question, how could you be a